Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. When you keep an open mind, you'll come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. You'll also see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now tonight it's my extreme pleasure to welcome Bob Lancer. He's been a full-time professional author and spiritual wisdom teacher and healer for 4 decades. He's personally consulted with the likes of Wayne Dyer, Deepak Chopra, Neil Donald Walsh, Marianne Williamson, Miguel Ruiz, Stephen Covey, and others. Bob's selling books, which have been published in several countries and languages, include Lighten Up, Harness the Power of Happiness to Create the Life You Want, Parenting with Love, Without Anger or Stress, The Soulmate Process, How to Apply Ancient Wisdom to Find Your Soulmate, and The Kabbalah Cards, a set of wisdom divination cards based on the Kabbalah Tree of Life. In addition to writing and speaking around the world, Bob has hosted his own Life Wisdom radio show on WSB Radio Broadcasting over AM radio to over 35 states for 15 consecutive years. And you can learn more about him at his websites, which I'll give you in just a moment, so be prepared to write that down. I wanted to say that it had been the plan for Bob to give some free Kabbalah life readings tonight, and I do see one caller that's gotten through. We'll see if more get through. The readings are designed to provide you with messages from your soul level for practical life guidance. And he also is going to offer a spiritual emotional healing session using the method, which is a powerful process for releasing our blocks to soul harmony. As we release these blocks, we permit more of the beauty of eternity to manifest in our physical circumstances, and the results can be physical healing, opening the flow to abundance, repairing broken relationships, discovering your life purpose, finding your right livelihood, and just pure joy. Bob assures us that the healing soul energy that transmits through our show can transform and uplift your spirit and your life very quickly in awe-inspiring ways. And Bob, I want to come back to that statement in just a minute, but first let me put out his websites. There are two of them. The first one, they're both on the World Wide Web. The first one is lovethemethod.com. And the second is Kabbalah Wisdom Power. And Kabbalah is spelled K-A-B-B like boy, A-L-A-H, Kabbalah Wisdom Power. So, Bob, I think that's quite a profound statement that you make, and I believe it to be true based on our experience. But how do you believe that this healing soul energy can transform and uplift spirit in very quickly and awe-inspiring ways?
It's just experientially.
Mm-hmm.
Just from the experience of opening up to your soul. And the way that you open up to your soul, it's not, you know, all that mysterious. It's not really complicated. It's just something that most people just don't believe they can do it. They think it's not possible for an average normal human being to be able to do it. They think you have to be some kind of a special person to be able to do it, or you just have to be crazy to think you can do it.
Right.
But all you really have to do is just direct your awareness, direct your attention inside yourself and open up to the soul level, open up to the spiritual dimension, open up to the divine. And if, you know, it's real easy to say, well, logically, rationally, that can't be done. And then your mind is blocking you from discovering truth, which is really not the purpose of the mind. But if you feel a sense of an inner calling to go deep, once you start opening up to this energy, you actually find that you can experience it. Now, you know, if you've been practicing meditation for years, it's a lot easier to do it because the mind, if the mind is busy with thoughts, there is like this, it's like a wind, a dust storm in your consciousness, and you can't get into the deeper levels. So by simply practicing suspending thought and directing your attention on a feeling level to the deepest level of your being, eventually, sooner perhaps, or perhaps later, but eventually you'll have that experience of this peace. In the Bible, it's called the peace that passeth all understanding, because there's no understanding connected to it. There's no thought connected to it. It's this inner state of peace and harmony that is just so deep and all-encompassing. And it's the harmonious vibration of your soul. Your soul is pure and perfect love. And we can talk more about that if you like. But as you open to the harmony of this deep divine level within you, that is what produces all the positive changes in your life. You become like a channel. You become like a conduit. You become like a window. You become like an open door, allowing this profound level of powerful harmony to enter your life. And this power is what produces harmony and order in all areas of your life. So instead of trying to control your life with personal power, you allow the soul's harmony to flow into your life experience. And that produces harmony in the body, harmony in the mind, harmony in relationships, harmony in money, harmony in career, harmony in your environment. It can even impact the weather. This is how the great shamans who go so deep into the soul level of energy are able to stop storms, heal the sick, raise the dead.
Mm-hmm.
Those are, of course, the advanced levels of it.
Right. Well, does it tend to be across the board, have across the board results, or how exactly does that work?
Well, you know, it's going to work in the way that is best for it to work, because at the soul level, the divine level of your consciousness, you know, we can define the divine as omnipresent, meaning everywhere, omnipotent, meaning absolute power,
yes,
and omniscient, meaning knowing everything, infinite intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, one of the common ways that spiritual people who think of themselves as spiritual or metaphysical, one of the ways they actually cut themselves off from this power, this healing power, this rejuvenating power, this pure power, this prospering power, one of the ways they cut themselves off is by trying to use the power. See, when you try to use spiritual energy, even if it's through prayer or visualization, and you're trying to direct the spiritual energy where you think it needs to go, you're diminishing or entirely blocking your connection to it.
That makes
sense. Because it's only by surrendering to its intelligence,
mm-hmm,
that you permit it to do its full work. So human beings, in Kabbalah, it says that human beings are at a higher level than the angels, because angels are instinctively designed to follow God's will, to be subservient to this energy, to follow its bidding, to follow its direction. Human beings make the conscious choice to surrender our ego in order to allow and trust in this power. And the more faith and trust you have in the ultimate power directing all events, the more you allow that power to demonstrate its infinite love for you.
It sounds like it's important to remain open and not specifically focused on, or not focused on specific results, because that cuts off the flow. It does not allow the God or the universe, however you want to conceive of the power greater than yourself, to pour his infinite blessings down upon you. Is that correct?
Well, exactly. That's exactly right, David, because what we're doing at that point is we're saying, God, I'll take over from here. Now, look, you know, we live in a culture that celebrates personal power and really diminishes the significance of the greater power that's actually in charge. Whatever power you think you have, any listener out there, you know, whatever power you think you have to control your life is laughable. And if you want to see immediate evidence of that, just watch what's happening in Texas.
Mm.
Watch what's happening in Florida. Spend your whole life doing, you know, everything by the book, working really hard, staying motivated, working out, praying, meditating, doing yoga, practicing the Harvard Business School's business practices. And in one instant, it can all be blown apart. And you can lose everything. And it doesn't have to be a hurricane. It can be anything. It can be the person you were counting on suddenly walking out and leaving you, and you finding yourself too devastated to live through that almost.
Mm-hmm.
It could be any event that ultimately comes in to shatter the ego, to show you that, look, you're not in charge here. There's something else going on. And you can either learn to trust it and love your life, or you can fear it and hate your life. But it's your choice. So we are really being called upon as human beings to have a conscious relationship with the divine level, with reality itself. If you think you can control reality, if you think you can outrun reality, if you think you can outsmart it, you're going to find whatever you build with your ego is going to collapse. Okay, now that doesn't mean that you should live in a state of hopelessness. It means that you should live in a state of great faith, because the power of reality is resurrection power. Every civilization, it becomes great, it reaches the zenith, then it collapses. But that's not the end of civilization. Another civilization comes back. It's the same thing in your own life. You work on something, you build a life, and then it collapses. And then if you hang out for a while, you find things starting to come back, and they actually come back on a higher level. And so one of the qualities of this divine energy of the soul, we can call it, is resurrection power. So, yes, whatever you build is going to collapse. And guess what? Who cares? Because it's all going to be setting the stage for something even greater and more magnificent to arise.
Mm-hmm.
But don't get attached to what arises. Attach to the power behind what arises so that you can find peace and stability and joy, and never project a negative judgment onto any experience. Because when you judge an experience as bad, you're not experiencing what's happening. You're experiencing your judgment about what's happening. And as we learn to suspend our judgment and dwell in harmonious peace in the present, peaceful harmony with what is, we allow the peace and harmony that is present to imbue us. Now what's happening is you are actually functioning as an agent of this spiritual force. Wherever you go, you are bringing the presence of this healing, harmonizing energy with you, so that you might meet someone who's going through a catastrophe, but somehow when they're with you, they feel peace, they feel faith, they feel confidence, they feel safe, they feel like everything's going to work out, because you're in touch with this energy that is nothing but infinite and endless love.
Well, I was, as you were talking, I was thinking about how, boy, I'm losing my train of thought. We just lost.
That's a good sign. That means we're connecting with a higher energy.
Okay.
But just come from the heart. Don't come from the thought.
I have a sense of what it was that I'm going for. Okay. So let me try going to the heart and see what happens. Touché.
This is what happens. Laughter happens.
Okay, I think I do have it.
Okay.
That is, when you talk about the things that people oftentimes judge as being bad, ultimately, it seems like the challenge for us is to come to view everything that happens as simply a life lesson and a blessing that may be one that it has a silver lining to it, a dark cloud with a silver lining, that we need to reframe it as a blessing instead of something that we perceive as bad. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's really just about, you know, when you're not in control, let go of control.
Mm.
And no matter how scary that is, you know, you can take it. You face the fear. You face the depressions. You face the grief. Whatever internal reaction you have to life when it's going left and you're wanting it to go right? Whatever emotions are coming up, you just have to allow them to come up and allow yourself to feel it. Because from letting yourself feel however you feel, right, like not trying to feel good about it, not trying to psych yourself into believing this is a wonderful opportunity, the fact that I just lost my child, right? So instead of trying to go, you know, to resist sort of the evil of the pain, the suffering, you just allow yourself to face whatever internal state arises in response to the event. What happens is you'll find that you can deal with it. You can handle it. You can endure it. You can face it. And then what I have this process called the method, so that you don't have to endure it endlessly. You face the pain for a while, and then we go through this process, and that relieves you of the pain for now. But what ultimately happens, like for me, is I realize that once you lose your fear of feelings, once you're no longer afraid of whatever feeling, whatever emotion might arise in you, grief, worthlessness, failure, the feeling of being a failure, because once you're no longer afraid of your feelings in response to life, you're no longer afraid of life.
That makes sense.
And when you lose your fear of life, it's like, wow, there's a certain level of inner peace that takes place,
mm-hmm.
that pervades your being, because it's like, you know, there's no fear of what can happen to me, because I'm able to handle whatever feelings come up. I'm not going to run away from my feelings. I'm not going to try to drink them away. I'm not going to drug them away. I'm not going to work them away. I'm not going to shop them away. I'm going to face them. And when you stand there and you face taking the energy out of the storm, and the energy is going into your inner peace and your courage and your emotional stability, and then there's this peace that takes place. From that peace comes the awakening. So the awakening is, when you really wake up to the fact that God is love, when you really wake up to the fact that God is love, there's nothing you're going to fear, because you know that no matter what's taking place, there's nothing going wrong. And there's nothing but blessings happening, even though you can't conceive of it. You're not even experiencing the storms of loss anymore. You're just experiencing the abiding presence of divine love as a constant. You're not even aware, you're hardly aware of the changes that are taking place on the surface level of life. You're simply abiding in this knowing, divine love being present, all-powerful. And that awakening is what comes from going through the darkest times and being willing to face whatever feelings comes up. when you face those feelings in those darkest times, what's really happening is the veil is being rent. You're becoming disillusioned. You're realizing that everything you counted on was nothing to count on. But you can face everything that comes up inside of you. And then what's on the other side of that is the awakening to the reality that God is love. You don't have to control anything. You don't have to worry about anything. You don't have to fix anything. Now, it doesn't mean you're not going to get engaged in life for the joy of being active and engaged and creative. But there's no attachment to outcome. If you're working on something and your computer breaks, you don't get frustrated because you figure, okay, then that's not the path that's going to be open for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. Doesn't matter because God is love. And so I thought it would be okay. It would be best if my computer worked. Okay, I don't got a computer. Fine. I don't have to freak out about that. I don't have to imagine that there's something wrong going on. See, the imagination is so powerful. When the imagination is under the influence of a negative emotion, life feels like hell. But when you can free your consciousness from your imaginary world that produces the suffering, what you imagine, anytime you're suffering emotionally, it's because you're imagining something going wrong. When you can suspend the activities of your mind, then you have that awakening to divine love. And then you're living in a whole different universe, a whole different world.
Well, that certainly is a different world, and it's one that a lot of people hunger for and never seem to make it to that place. I know for me, in order for me to even be ready to head in a more spiritual direction, I had to really bash my head against the rocks and come to a place of utter despair in order to want to move forward into the light.
That's pretty much what it is for everyone. So, I mean, there are occasionally people, I think, who sort of awaken by grace. It just sort of happens. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, it's you know, Bob Dylan has a line in one of his songs. He says, "Don't send me no more letters unless they come from Desolation Row." Because only when we go through that utter desolation, I mean the shocking desolation. I don't just mean you're down and you're blue. I mean you're completely shocked. It's like someone that you thought loved you is suddenly trying to kill you. You know, it's that level of shock.
Mm-hmm.
When you go through that kind of, I call it ego decimation, it's what everybody's afraid of. Nobody wants to go through that. Nobody wants to, like, build a business, watch the business fail. You know, nobody wants to build a marriage, watch the marriage fail. Nobody wants to raise a kid and watch that kid turn against you. You know, nobody wants to go through this ego decimation, this complete shock when all of your confidence and pride and security was based on a belief that reality is going one way when it can go the exact opposite way. When suddenly you realize that you were counting on an illusion and that you really have no idea of what life can do.
Mm.
Nobody wants to go through that, to awakening, to the place in consciousness that everyone wants to be at.
Do you find that most people actually go that route and come to that place in their lives, or is it a blessing that just hits a certain number of people?
You know, we could call it a blessing, but it was crucifixion a blessing for Jesus, you know?
Right,
it's,
right.
It, you know, so it's a blessing, but, you know, you only do this because you have to, you know? It's like I was kicking and screaming all the way. So you know, to answer your question, most people, no, I don't think the vast majority of people are going to have this awakening, at least in our lifetime. All of these disasters that are happening are all about leading as many people as possible to the point of awakening.
Mm-hmm.
see, because you know, the only time you're going to let go is when you realize you're losing everything.
Right.
And there's nothing you can do to hold on to it.
Right.
You can't keep it together. You can't keep it together. It's all going to fall apart. Every single thing that human beings create is vanity. It's all going to fall apart, whether you're creating a hospital or whether you're creating a bomb factory. Every single thing that the ego is out to build to protect itself, because that's really what people are dealing with. Why are people afraid of poverty? You know, they're not so much afraid that they're going to be hungry. They're afraid of losing face. They're afraid of being ashamed. Well, losing face is what you're bound for. But when you lose face, you no longer have to be attached to getting people's approval. You no longer have to try to even get your own approval. You stop trying to prove yourself. You just allow yourself to be yourself. So it's letting go, letting go, letting go of outcomes, letting go of control. It doesn't mean 100% letting go. If you're walking through a door, right, and the door is open, keep walking. But if you're coming up to a door and the door slams in your face, don't start knocking your head against the wall and believe, oh, my God, this door is shut. All my opportunities are lost. No, 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 no. It doesn't matter that this door shut. You let go of the way you thought it should go, and you open yourself to discover a new way. But how do you get your guidance? David, as you know, you only get your guidance in inner stillness. God is constantly talking to you. You're constantly being transmitted signals from the higher planes of existence, from higher levels of consciousness. But the lower mind has to be quiet so that you can consciously receive these signals, this guidance, and guide you from a higher level of intelligence. But before you can be guided along the path of God's will for you, the perfect path for you, you have to be unattached to your personal preferences.
Mm-hmm. And for many people, that takes the form of people, places, and things. But
sure.
It goes deeper than that, doesn't it?
It goes all the way, you know. So if you lose your job, you freak out about it.
Yeah.
Right? But your freak out is based on something imaginary.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, for all you know, everything is working perfectly. And this is nothing to be concerned about. So when we're going through these painful emotions, the painful emotions make you think that there's something going wrong in the outer world. But the reality is, there's something going wrong in your inner world. The painful emotions in and of themselves are the suffering. They're the problem. So what we do is we use the method to clear ourselves. Instead of saying, oh, I'm lonely, I got to find someone, we say, I'm lonely, I got to free myself of this loneliness so I can abide in the peace profound, experience the perfection and the wholeness of my connection with the divine, with reality. And in that peaceful state of fullness, just by the nature of the law of cause and effect, your state of consciousness will manifest, will materialize conditions consistent with it. So when you're experiencing abundance and wholeness and love and fullness, it's from there that what will manifest in your life is the wonderful relationship, the sufficient income, the great job that really matches your talent and skills, the home that's just right for you, the experiences that are just right for you. They all blossom naturally when you are in your harmonious internal state of perfect peace.
Mm. Well, let's talk a little bit about the methods that you referred to. I mean, you have been gracious enough to give me an experience with that, and it's interesting, just a little digression here. I had a Facebook message from one of my listeners asking if the show was pre-recorded. She usually calls in, and so I'm waiting to get a response from her on Facebook. So obviously there is a problem, folks, with you being able to get through tonight, And that's a problem with Blog Talk Radio. It's not a problem with your phone. And we'll have Bob back on the show another time to do what he had intended to do. But for now,
see how wonderful things work out.
Yeah,
technical glitch. I get to be on twice.
There you go. Well, I did save a date for you, Bob. But at any rate, why don't you take this opportunity to talk a little bit about the method? And yes,
okay.
I'm getting this message from her that she got disconnected about four different times.
Yeah,
that's unfortunate, and we did lose the one caller,
okay.
So I don't know.
But you know, it's perfect for us, David. It's a perfect way to practice because there's nothing unfortunate about it.
Right.
Right?
You're
and
right.
So once we start reacting to circumstances, and it really takes a lot of presence, a lot of awareness to recognize how much, you know, I mean, maybe it's a little bit of a harsh term for, but how much negativity we really put into our lives when there's absolutely no reason to believe that anything's going wrong.
Mm.
Yes, it's not going according to our plan,
mm-hmm.
but guess what? It's always going according to plan. The ancient Greeks called it the logos. And so what the method does is the method helps us to become very sensitively aware to any trace of negativity we're bringing into our lives, whether it's fear, anger, sadness, or any of the different forms of those. And as soon as we notice those, we use the method not to try to let's fix this, you know, let's fix what's going on with Blog Talk, you know, right now so that we can feel good. No, it's just using the method to free yourself from any negativity you're putting into your experience. And what that does is each time we do it, so when circumstances arise that cause you to feel anger, fear, or sadness, to whatever degree, those are your greatest blessings. Because each time those emotions come up in you and we use the method to dissolve the emotional pattern, you're able to find peace, harmony, joy, faith, confidence, empowerment, and love in the circumstances that used to make you feel frustrated or afraid. And the more consistently you live in this inner peace of the soul that is able to come through as we clear these negative reactions, as we clear these emotional pain reactions, the harmony of the soul pervades the being, radiates out into life, and heals, orders, organizes, creates beauty and order out of all the circumstances in your life. The harmonious vibration of the soul is coming into life experience to order and create beauty. See, what is the universe? The universe, all the planets, all the stars, all the galaxies, is one giant garden. And it's a beautiful garden. So the creator of the universe, the soul of the universe, is what manifests the beauty and the order of the physical universe. So beauty and order is intrinsic to creation. When we get ourselves out of the way, we allow this energy that creates the universe, that creates the word cosmos, is a Greek word, it means order and beauty. Order and beauty in your garden, the order and beauty in the galaxy, the order and beauty of the universe, it creates an order and a beauty of every area of your life. The ancient Chinese called it the Tao. You can't create the kind of beauty that a garden can create naturally. You can work with the garden and help the garden to produce the flower. But the garden itself, the natural forces, the natural order process that produces the cosmic beauty is something that can produce order and beauty in every area of your life as you get the ego out of it, as you stop controlling. Now, a certain amount of control is fine, but once you're experiencing conflict or struggle or distress, that means now you're not working with the universe, you're working against it.
Right.
And that's what produces difficulties.
Mm.
That's what produces suffering, sickness, illness, ugliness, when we're going against the flow of the universe because we're afraid that if we don't control this thing, the way where things are going is all hell is going to break loose. When you think all hell is going to break loose, what you're going to find is all hell is going to break loose of the covering of the of allowing heaven to break loose.
Mm. Mm. Well, I was laughing because I was just reflecting on my own emotions connected to the show and not having callers be able to get through and how I had gone through the experience of frustration and feeling as if somehow, some way, even though it was out of my control, I should be able to control it, and using that should word on myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you were talking earlier about how this is really a good thing, I just lightened up and I laughed at myself and I realized, you know, it is. It is. We have a chance to talk. We have a chance to get in touch with some of these greater truths.
And we have a chance to get free of our ego. Because the ego always thinks it knows how things need to go for our good. The ego is right when it's right, and it's wrong when it's wrong. So there are times when things go the way you want them to go. Well, that means that your ego and the divine process has, for whatever reason, lined up for that moment. But then when things are going one way and your ego feels like, gee, I wish it would go the other way. I believe I'd be better off if it went the other way. The ego is always wrong. Whenever the ego is anti what's happening, the ego is actually wrong. It thinks it knows the right way to go. It's like a little child saying, you know, we got to make a right turn, Daddy, if we're going to go to the right place. And it's like, no, son, you actually have to make a left. And so the kid is throwing a tantrum, even though the father is right.
Mm-hmm.
That's the ego.
Mm.
The ego is always wrong when it is in conflict with what is.
You're preaching to the choir.
Well, yeah, and you know, it's a wonderful thing to realize at some point we could just start relieving ourselves of suffering, because suffering is really coming from fear of what is, like thinking something can be going wrong, not realizing that reality is governed by divine love, divine intelligence. And that there's really only one power in existence, and that's God. And you never have to be concerned about anything else going on.
I just got a message from that potential caller who said that we need to watch our inner languaging and what we're telling our inner selves.
Well, we have to, you know, basically I think we have to... we have to trust silence.
Mm.
You know, again, going back to ancient Greece, Pythagoras, if you were going to study with the great sage and shaman and philosopher and prophet Pythagoras, you had to spend 7 years in silence before you could even meet with him. And there's an ancient saying from ancient magic, the four rules of magic: to know, to will, to dare, and to be silent. And the silence that we need is not just silence of the mouth, but silence of the mind. Right? When you are able to experience mental silence, that is when you can experience the harmony of the soul.
Where does the true knowing come in?
The true knowing comes in through the silence.
Mm.
The true knowing is an experience, and no one can tell anybody the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Because the truth can't be articulated.
Mm-hmm.
But you can experience true knowing at a feeling level.
So it's beyond words.
Everything is beyond words. Words do not represent experience. Words are what we call second degree abstractions at best.
Mm.
So if you have a physical experience, a sensory experience through your five physical senses, then you use words to represent that. But if I use the word table, you know, you don't know what table I'm talking about.
That's right.
You have a general idea of the table I'm referring to, but then if I actually show you the table, now you're looking at it with your eyes. But even that is what we call a first-order abstraction, because the reality is the table is an atomic energy structure, and the only reason it looks yellow to you is because the light vibrations are hitting your optic nerve, causing your brain to produce the sensation of the color yellow. There's no such thing as a color yellow. It's a vibration, an atomic state. And when we look at a table, for example, from the atomic level, it's like a 4th of July sparkler. And there's no separation between the table and the floor. It's not like the table's on the floor. The energy of the floor is going into the table. The energy of the table is going into the floor. So what we experience through our five physical senses is just a minuscule, an infinitesimal representation of an infinite energy event. And as we open our feelings to the present moment experience, we start experiencing the energy event. We start experiencing the energy. And it's living in that energy, the energy that you can experience only through mental silence, a conscious experience of the present moment with mental silence. What happens then is the energy of the soul infuses your consciousness and you enter blissful states of harmony. And the harmonious vibration of your being now is producing harmonious physical conditions in your life. If you have any problem, don't try to solve your problem. Go into the mental silence where the problem doesn't even exist, because any problem you have is in your mind. You have to think about it to experience it. You have to think about your financial situation to feel you have a financial problem. When you go into the energy in mental silence, there is no problem. You're not experiencing a problem. You're just experiencing bliss and harmony and peace and light and love and joy. And then within that state, you open your inner ear, you open your mind to receive guidance. So just if there's something I need to know, something I need to do, let me know. And you stay open to that. I recommend people practicing this 5 times a day, 2 minutes at a time. That's all. And if you do that over the next 30 days, just 5 times a day, stop what you're doing, even 90 seconds, just trying to silence your mind and experience your feelings in the present moment. And if you can go deeper, you just open up to the deeper levels of feeling within you, open to your soul. 5 times a day, 2 minutes a day, 2 minutes at a time, and the transformation will be glorious.
I'm wondering if you might have, I'm following everything you're saying, and I've experienced a lot of what you're talking about. What I'm wondering is what words of wisdom you might have to offer for people that are living in uncertainty and fear of the approaching hurricane.
Everybody is. I'm telling you, you don't even have to be, you can be living in Alaska right now,
mm-hmm.
but you know, the emotions of the human race are radiating into the atmosphere.
Mm.
So I don't care where you are. You woke up in fear today. You felt a mysterious anxiety.
Yes.
You're feeling a sense of, I need to control. Because that's what so many people are going through right now. They're terrified. Because everything they've built, they see that they can lose. Right? And they're realizing that there's forces existing that are beyond their control. And so the only way they're going to be able to move forward is by letting go of what they can't control.
Mm-hmm.
And learning how to go through that. So, you know, it's interesting because there's a natural, beautiful part of all of us that would like to end the suffering in the world, stop the wars, stop the starvation, stop the poverty, stop the abuse, stop the enslavements, stop every tree that's being felled for no reason, every piece of ivory that's being stolen from a beautiful elephant. There's a part of us that wants to stop all the savagery that's taking place in the world. But we come to understand, number one, we can't do it. You know, people have been trying to change the world, improve the world with prayer and marches and demonstrations and laws and guns and sit-ins, and people have been trying to change and improve the world for thousands of years, and the world has never been in worse condition. Nothing's been getting better. There's more hunger, there's more poverty, there's more starvation, there's more slavery, there's more incarceration, there's more violence, there's more crime, there's more poverty, there's more pollution than ever before in history. With all the efforts of all the good people in the world have made, including praying their heads off, crying their hearts out to God, all of that, but look at the state of the world, with nuclear weapons everywhere, with crazy people who are trying to threaten the world with them, right? With what's going on in America, the civil war is back. What we have is all this effort to change the world. We haven't done anything. There's many wonderful things happening, but evil has not been eradicated by any means. So what are we to understand of this? What we're understanding is that when a human being, an individual, whatever you are going through right now in your life, whatever you're facing, whatever difficulty you're facing, is exactly what you need to go through to wake up to divine love. Every tragedy, every hunger, whatever anybody's going through, it's all part of the logos. It's perfectly orchestrated, perfectly designed to give them exactly the experience they need to get free of the ego, to awaken to divine love, to fulfill the human potential, which is to be an agent of divine love, to experience divine love, to be radiant with divine love. So yes, we are compassionate for the pain that these people are going through as they lose or face the loss of their heart's desire, their broken hearts. We feel compassion for their broken hearts.
Mm-hmm.
But we also know that it's necessary. There's no other way. Because as long as your heart can be broken by the loss of anything in this world, your heart is going to be broken. And it is the breaking of your heart that gives us the opportunity to awaken to this level of divine love that is really the only reality. But as long as you're living in the dream, you think the dream is real. And so the dream hurts. And the purpose of the hurt is to wake you up from the dream.
Wow. How did you happen to come up with the method?
I was in my darkest place, David. Mm. I was at that place where if I heard somebody got hit by a truck, I was jealous. I was so sad. I was so brokenhearted. I was so depressed. I was truly depressed. I mean, I was like that kind of dead inside depression. I was living in an anxiety panic attack for over a year. And I was so absolutely devastated, ego decimated. There was no, I didn't want to live anymore. I lost all my faith in the world. I lost all my ambition. But I kept going because I knew from my spiritual studies that on some level, there's something deeper going on. So I just kept at it. I just kept meditating. I kept opening up to how I felt. I kept seeking truth and enlightenment. And that's when I was at the deepest, darkest place, I discovered the method. And the first time I used it, I was astonished because within 20 minutes, I went from this darkness I just described to you, to a state of pure bliss. I was completely out of my suffering. It lasted for a few hours. I did it again. It would last for a few days. I did it again. And each time I would do the method, when the wave of darkness would come back, I would get freer. I would go deeper. I would have more peace, more enlightenment, more release to surrender. And I've been using the method now for about 4 years on myself and then sharing it with other people. I coach people through the method. It's basically a way to get out of your emotional pain and to clear yourself of the false beliefs that are making you feel negative, that make you feel hurt inside, so that you can awaken ultimately to the divine love at the basis of reality and really experience true liberation. And so what I do is I guide people, you know, they contact me through my website and lovethemethod.com. We set up a time, we talk on the phone, and then I guide them through the method and they experience their healing. And after, you know, we go through it, you know, I'll usually work with them for about 12 weeks. We call that the foundation process. If they want to, sometimes occasionally people just want to go through it once, but we go through it 12 times. I guide them through it in 12 weekly sessions. And then they're at a point where they can start comfortably using it on themselves, at least to some degree. But what happens in my connection with people is because I've done the method so many times, my level of consciousness becomes so much more deeply imbued with divine love that I find just the presence of my energy, connecting with my energy, can help people. And I don't say that egotistically, because the ego has been so smashed at me. But I still go through. I'm not 100% master. I'm 100% dedicated to the mastery process, but I'm not 100% master. I still go through my ups and downs. I go through downs at times. I'll find myself feeling anxious. Like when I woke up today, I knew, wow, I'm picking up on the hurricane stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I immediately go to the method, and it immediately transforms the darkness into the light. And so when it was given to me, I just felt like this is for humanity. Because I actually found a way that I can guide people within 20 minutes. They can be out of their emotional suffering. They don't have to be in this pain. They can be out of their emotional suffering in 20 minutes. And they can learn how to do this for themselves so that they can use these experiences that bring up darkness to grow in the light more and more.
Well, I found it was a very profound experience. And what I like is that you do sessions with people on a sliding scale basis.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's taking a very spiritual approach to situation, because not everybody has the the means to pay the full shot for therapy, if you will.
It's a healing. It's definitely a spiritual healing process.
Yes.
It is. And the sliding scale is typically anywhere from $50 to $100. And so there are people who work with me every week. There are people who say, well, I can afford to do it once a month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if someone's really dedicated, they can you know, they can come up with $50. But if they can't, but they really feel dedicated, I'll talk to you. We'll have conversations. And if I really feel like someone's dedicated, I would never not provide someone with this because of the money factor. You know, when I help someone, as you know in your work, when we help someone, we get so much out of it. You know, even this conversation I'm having with you, I mean, this is so joyful. This is so thrilling and fulfilling. When I work with someone who's really looking for help, I mean, we both have ecstasy. You know, it's a wonderful exchange. But it seems to be you have to be able to demonstrate some form of material appreciation to your spiritual source.
Yes.
For it to do its best work.
Yes.
And I just found that as a principle to be true. So, yes, it's a sliding scale, and there are people who pay more than $100 because they feel like they're just getting, they'll be inspired, and they'll just say, you know, I'm just getting so much out of this, I want you to have more. And there are people who will pay a lot more, which covers it and makes it possible to help people who have less.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you don't have to feel like, well, I've got to pay you for the set. If after a session you're not where you want to be, you don't have to pay me. You don't have to feel like you have any sense of obligation. If you didn't get any value or enough value out of the situation, you don't need to pay me. But I want you to think about the fact that there's a way out of your suffering, that it exists, and that you can have it if you want it.
That's beautiful. Well, we have just a couple of minutes remaining. Is there anything else that you'd like to share before we close the show for today?
I would say, you know, I just picked a Kabbalah card, and what it suggests is to just suggest to everybody to, you know, open to your inner voice, get centered, and open to your inner voice. Whatever the situation you're facing, you don't have to rush to other people for advice. You know, if someone gives you advice, you still have to go inside to the inner silence and open to the silent speaker within, your own deep inner intuition, that sense that comes to you from your true self to guide you. In peace, in stillness, go within to receive your inner GPS, your inner guide. So that would be my closing remark to folks.
Well, thank you, Bob. I really appreciate that. And I would appreciate it if you'd stay on the line after I close the show. I'd like to talk to you about rescheduling another date.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
So thank you for joining me tonight and for such a profound discussion. I really have enjoyed what you've had to share tonight, and I trust that others have as well.
Thank you, David. It's been an honor.
So once again, we come to a close. Let's take a moment to pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience when we let it be. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize. Good night. God bless.